This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so do me a favor. Why don't you just tell your neighbor it's good to see them on this morning? Just tell them it's good to see them on. All right. Oh, by the way, Ben, I didn't tell you. When I was looking for you earlier, your wife said you was out in the forest just playing around. You should have been in church worshiping. But anyways. Well, you said something like that, right? Well, you said he was out in the foyer. I just added the rest. Anyways. All right. Did we make our confession of faith? We did? Oh, so we're live? Okay, we're live. All right. Well, Luke, the 6th chapter in the 37th verse. Luke, the 6th chapter in the 37th verse. We're in a series entitled Live to Give. Everybody say live,
live.
To give. I want to talk to you today about developing a heart of generosity. Developing a heart of generosity. Watch what the writer says. Matter of fact, you can go to Luke 6, and then I want you to put your fingers on Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. We're going to stay in Deuteronomy 15 most of the way. Luke 6 and Deuteronomy 15. Luke 6 says, judge not. Watch this, class. What's going to happen? And you shall not be judged, right? Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. What's the next word? Forgive and you will be forgiven. And then verse 38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And a lot of times when you think about giving, a lot of people, they look at Luke 6 as, you know, 2 Corinthians 9, Malachi 3, Luke 6. These are all giving scriptures. And so really, when you begin to look at Luke 6, this passage is not really just about giving, but this passage is really about having an attitude of the heart. When you look at this passage, you see judgment, you see condemnation, you see forgiveness. Those are all attitudes of the heart. But you also see giving right in the middle of these passages about attitudes of the heart. Whatever we give, more is given back to us, whether it be good or bad. Right? Giving applies to every area of our lives. And giving is about the heart, and money is included. The Bible says it. Actually, Jesus said it himself. Where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. So if God can get to your wallet or purse, as the case may be, he can get to your heart. And so I want to talk to you about how to develop a heart of generosity. How to develop a heart of generosity. Now let's go to Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. I'm going to pick up at verse 7. I want to talk to you about having a heart of generosity. It says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren with any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God, watch this now, is giving you. So God is the one that's giving you all this stuff. All right. He says, you shall not harden your. Okay, let's try it again. You shall not harden your. All right. Nor shut your hand from the poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever the need be. And so really, the Bible's teaching us that if God is giving you all this stuff and God is blessing you, that you ought to be generous, that it is the will of God that we are generous. And, you know, we can go a lot of ways with that. And I believe I was talking to someone just a little while ago, last week, and they were saying, you know, Pastor, I'm really trying to learn how to give because, you know, when you teach lessons like this, man, it makes me want to give all my money away. And then my wife tells me we can't give all my money away. I said, no, you can't give all your money away. You got it. I'm glad that your heart is full, and I'm glad that you want to be a giver. I said, but you have to move from being an emotional giver to being a spirit-led giver. In other words, when the Spirit of God puts on my heart to be a blessing to somebody, when the Spirit of God puts on my heart to do something, so you have to move from being an emotional giver to being a spirit-led giver. You guys know our testimony years ago, long before we ever started this church. We opened businesses, and God just exploded them. We just did amazing. amazing things. And when we first, you know, started making this kind of money, we had no idea what to do with it. Because, you know, our average monthly bills couldn't have been $2,000. I mean, for the whole, I'm talking about house, car, you know, everything. Probably not even that. Probably not $1,500. And so now you start to get checks at one time for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. So we just started being a blessing to everybody. We were writing checks. And but then the Lord had to learn and tell me, son, no, the reason, you know, you made $100,000 this month and you only have 20 in is because you gave all of it away. So you had to learn how to be a spirit-led giver instead of an emotional giver, because every time somebody came to us and gave us a sob story, guess what we did? We just wrote a check. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't give, because somebody said, oh, well, you're talking about being generous, but you have to have a balance in being a generous giver. Does that make sense? So I want to make sure that you understand that. All right. So there are four things that we need to do if we're going to become generous givers. If we're going to become generous givers, the first thing that we have to deal with is we have to deal with a selfish heart. Somebody say selfish heart. All right, Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, you're already there. Go to down to the 9th verse. He says, beware, watch this, lest there be a wicked thought in your heart. Notice he uses the word wicked. He says, lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the 7th year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him what, class? Nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. God calls selfish thoughts wicked thoughts. And so what happens is, back during this time, he's saying if you see somebody that's really in need, you know, and you can give to them, if you're not careful, you say, wait a minute, next year is the year of Jubilee. Next year is the year of release. And in the year of Jubilee, all debts are canceled. And if I give them $1,200 and they're not able to pay me the $1,200 back before next year, I'm going to have to give it, you know, cancel their debt. And so how many know that's a selfish heart? Right? And so why did God create giving? God created giving to work selfishness and greed out of our lives. God did not create giving for his sake, but he created giving for our sake. All right? So, how many know that we don't need to be selfish? Right? We just don't need to be selfish. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and be honest with you, and I'm going to be transparent with you, because we're all growing in God's grace. And even though we know that we should not be selfish in any area, ladies, there's just an area that a lot of us brothers have still not grown up in, that area that we're just still selfish in that area. We don't like to share our food. Yeah, we don't like, and ladies, they really like to share our food, and we don't understand, you know, and all the ladies say the same thing where you're going through the drive-thru, I'll just have some of your fries. No, you won't. You won't have, I will buy you fries, I'll buy you a supersized fry, but you cannot have my fry. Like, I want all my fries, and let's just be clear, all the fries at the bottom of the bag belong to me. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so, but beyond that, we should not be selfish. Can I get a... All right, so we have to make sure that we deal with a selfish heart. Number two, everybody say number two. All right, number two, we have to deal with a grieving heart. And now here he's talking about money, and so we have to keep going with this. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, and now go to the 10th verse. He said, you shall surely give to him, and your heart, remember, because giving is a matter of the heart, your heart should not be what, class? Grieved when you give to him, because for this thing, watch this, the Lord God will bless you in all your works, and in all to which you put your hand. So we see through scripture that God wants to bless us through our giving. Here at Without Limits, we say giving is not what? That's right. Giving is not a game, but it is God's plan to prosper our lives. So to the degree that we do it on purpose, out of principle, we will see amazing things happen in our lives. And so the writer here is telling us how we have to deal with a grieving heart. We shouldn't give and then grieve over what we could have done. You got it. We have our big giving day coming, and big giving day. You saw the video, so you know all the amazing things that our church does, and we couldn't do them without the number one, the consistent financial support of our members and partners who give their tithes and offerings on a normal basis. And then we have our big giving in March, one time over and above. And then let's just say, you know, you have somebody that's going to give 300. You have someone that's going to give 3,000. We don't get into numbers because it's not about competition. We say it won't be equal giving, but it will be equal sacrifice. Let's just say God speaks to you about being one of the 100 to give 1,000. If you're not careful, you will give the 1,000, and then after you give the 1,000, watch this, the enemy will come to try to get you to grieve to see what you could have done with it. Oh, you could have put it in savings, or you could have put it in, you know, your IRA, or you could have taken care of this, or you could take it. You understand what I'm saying? And truth be told, you probably wouldn't have done any of those things, but that's just what the enemy will do because he wants you to grieve, right? Right? He wants you to grieve after you give because he realized if you grieve after you give, it's almost like plucking up the seed that you've sown. So we shouldn't give then grieve over what we could have done. So selfishness attacks us before we give, and grief attacks us after we give. And so we've got to understand that we've got to have a balance in our giving. We've got to do it God's way, and we've got to start asking ourselves questions. You know, like one thing that we should ask ourselves is God pleased if after we give, we regret it? Like, did God really accomplish the work in our heart that he wanted to do that after you give, you grieve? Does that make sense? You know, over this weekend, Friday, Lady LaConte and I, we're praying about what we're going to give, and we know we're going to give a lot. We always give several $1,000s every year, and, you know, we're talking about this number and that number. And so I was like, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and give this. And it was a lot of money. Watch this. But watch this. I realized that it was a lot of money, but I didn't grieve over it. Right? Watch this. I'm the pastor, and the enemy will try to make me think like, oh, you don't want to be given that kind of money. And so when the thought comes, I immediately went over to my wife. I said, babe, we sowed this seed. We're believing that our marriage is getting better. Our children are getting better. Our finances are getting better. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to let the enemy try to attack me and try to steal the seed that I've already sown. Does that make sense? And so I'm not going to allow grief to take place in my life. All right? How many of you in the room, if you had a clean, crisp $100 bill, you'd give it to Pastor? Like, Pastor, if I had a clean, crisp $100 bill, I'd give it to you. You got a clean, crisp $100? Well, if you give, I will receive. 100? 20, 40, 60. It ain't crisp. Okay, well, thank you. No, I appreciate it. Give him a hand. That's not, but now, how many know he didn't need to do that? No, because pastor shouldn't be up here, you know, using his influence to ask people for money. Can I get a... See, now y'all trying to be nice. No, pastor should not be up here using his influence trying to ask people for money. Can I get a... That is not the goal. Isn't that right? You got it. But so you're like, well, why in the world did he get up and give it to him so fast? Because before service, I gave him this $100 and said, when I ask for $100, I want you to come and give it to me. I've got a question for you. Is he grieving over giving me money that's mine? He's not grieving over giving me this money. Watch this. Because it's not his, it's mine. So maybe we have a problem with giving because we don't understand that it's not ours. That the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell within. So God is our source. Does that make sense? Money is not a source, it's a resource. You got it. Your job is not even ultimately your source. It is a means for income to come in, and you need your job, and we thank God for your job. But if something happens and the company, you know, goes down, you're not going to go down because you serve Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. Does that make sense? You got it. And so everything belongs to God. You know, we I know we like to say the tithe belongs to God, and it does, but really it all belongs to him. You got it. And so what happened is Ben really, if we understand proper terminology, he really did not give this to me, he returned it to me. When the Bible talks about the tithe, it's the tenth, it's the accursed thing, it's set apart, it's holy. So when we give our tithe, we're actually not really giving our tithe, we're returning our tithe to the Lord. Does that make sense? That's why in Malachi, he said, if you don't do it, you've robbed me and you're cursed with the curse, because he says that it is set apart for my use. It is holy. And so you've got to understand that it belongs to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. Amen? All right. And so do we have a lot of first-time guests in the house? How many first-time guests we have in the house? Ooh, there's one. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Stand up. Do I have a 5? Okay, all right. I have a 5. Okay, all right. Ben, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can you? I want to have lunch on me today. God bless you all. All right. So in the back, let's put up number 1. We have to deal with a what class? Selfish heart. All right. Number two in the back, we have to deal with what class? A grieving heart. And then number three, we have to deal with what class? A generous heart. Develop a generous heart. So you've got to deal. You've got to deal with the selfish heart. You have to deal with the grieving heart, and now you have to develop this generous heart. Now go down to verse 14 of Deuteronomy 15. He says, "You shall supply him liberally from your flock." You notice that God wasn't asking for us to do these things. You got it. This was a command that was coming. You got it. "You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from the threshing floor, and from your wine press. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him." And so he's teaching us to be generous. Psalms 37 and 21 says that the wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are what? Generous givers. So the Bible teaches us that godly people are generous. You got it. Proverbs 11 and 25 says that a generous person will prosper. This is a scripture that I live by, like every day of my life. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. There's not a week that goes by that my wife and I are not a blessing to somebody. I'm talking about beyond giving my tithes and my offering. I mean, that's just the staple. I'm going to do that. But I'm saying beyond that, we're always going to be a blessing because we understand that a generous person will prosper. And if I refresh others, that I'm going to be refreshed, right? And so everybody in this room wants to be refreshed. Am I right about it? So one of the things the Bible teaches us is that if I want to be refreshed, I need to refresh somebody else. Does that make sense? All right. God wants us to be generous as he is generous. The Bible teaches us that he is our prime example of generosity in giving. For God so loved the world that he gave, and not only did he give, but he gave his very best gift. Right? And how many know that we have to teach our children to be generous? Right? Yeah. You know, the neighbor's kids come over, and your kids are playing with their kids, and then, your kid is over here playing, so then the neighbor's little kid goes over here and picks up a toy, and then your kid drops his toy, runs over to the one that the neighbor picked up, takes it, and says, "Mine!" You know, and so you let it go. And so then the neighbor's like, "Okay, you can have it. You know, it's your house." And so your kid starts playing with that. The neighbor's kid walks way over here and picks up another toy. And then what happens? Your kid drops down. I'm not saying your kid specifically. Y'all understand that, right? Because y'all aren't saying amen. So you're like, "I don't receive that, Pastor." I'm not talking about your kid, all right? So, you know, y'all understand what I'm saying, right? So your kid drops that one and snatches it. "It's mine." You got it. So we have to teach our children, watch this, how to be generous, because watch this, we are born selfish, but we are born again generous. Does that make sense? We are born selfish, but we are born again generous. And so we have to understand that we're talking about attitudes of the heart. We're talking about attitudes of the heart. So we have to deal with the selfish heart. We have to deal with the grieving heart. We have to develop a generous heart. And my last point before I close, about to get out of here, is that we have to develop a grateful heart. We have to develop a grateful heart. Oh, man, I'm a very grateful person. I'm just glad to be alive. You got it. I'm glad to be alive. There's people that did not wake up this morning, but we woke up. There are people that are bedridden that can't walk, but we were able to get in our cars and drive here and walk into the house of the Lord. There are people that can't lift up their hands, but during worship, we were able to lift up our hands. Does that make sense? You got it. So we really have a lot to be thankful for, and we really have a lot to be grateful for, and we have to make sure, watch this, sometimes it's not that people don't know that God is good, you got it, but we have to develop this grateful heart, that we have this attitude of gratitude. That's why David said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his goodness toward me?" In other words, God has been so good to me, how can I be good to God? We're still in Deuteronomy 15th chapter. Let's drop down to the 15th verse. He says, "You shall remember you were a slave." A what class? Slave in the land of Egypt. So he's wanting them to remember where they came from. And how many know sometimes it's good to remember where you came from? How many know you didn't always have it together? How many know we still don't always have it together? Isn't that right? You got it. You may not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. You got it. You're on your way to a better place in life. Does that make sense? So he says, you shall remember. And I just think it's funny because he's not asking us to do these things. He's like, no, you shall remember. Like if I tell my son, you shall take out the trash, how many know he didn't have an option about taking out the trash? You got it. Well, he got an option, but he's going to want to take the trash out. All right? You shall remember that if you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God, watch this, redeemed you. So God redeemed you. Therefore, he says, I command you, not I ask of you, or he says, but I command you this thing today. What is this thing? We've been talking all through Deuteronomy about being a generous giver. And he says, you know, I'm commanding you to do this thing. You know, and so my question is, what if we would allow God periodically to remind us of where we came from? What if we would allow God to remind us that we once were slaves of things like sin? What if sometimes we would do that? And that everything that we have is by his grace. Then it would help us to be grateful and generous givers. Isn't that right? Yep, I'm closing, so I'm ready for my people to come. All right? So my wife and I, we're extremely, extremely generous in our lives. We've given away so much. You know, we've given away cars. We've helped kids go to college. We've paid house notes for people. There's been times we've been in settings for offerings, and we've given $30,000 and $40,000 like that, wrote a personal check, you know, just in one offering. And watch it. And if you're not careful, you're like, I'll never do that. But I remember when I couldn't pay my rent on the first of the month. I'm ready, Court. I remember when I could not pay my rent on the first of the month. I remember years ago working a job for $6.25 an hour because it was the only job out there. And I took it because I understood that some money was better than no money. And if I was faithful with that which was least, that God could bless me with much more. Does that make sense? I remember every month on the first calling my landlord. And I really didn't have to because in the contract, I don't know if you understand this, but with rent, it says the first, but you have till the fifth of the month. And then after the fifth, you incur charges. So I really didn't have to call on the first of the month. But you can ask my wife, I always did. Why? Because I'm sure they were looking for it on the first. And so I said, hey, Stephanie, this is James. Listen, we don't have it. We don't have it, but we'll have it by the fifth. He said, okay, you know, no problem, James, you know, that kind of thing. And I think after about the fourth or the fifth month, you know, she realized I was going to call every month and tell her that I didn't have it, but I'd have it by the fifth. But I always had it on the fifth. Always had it on the fifth. And so, you know, I remember only having one car, and the car we had was from a buy here, pay here place that you had to pay every week. Why? Because they couldn't trust you for a whole month payment, so they wanted you to pay in them every week. I remember that. And sometimes if we're not careful, I remember the feeling that I had that my wife wasn't able to go to the beauty salon. Is that what y'all call it nowadays, beauty salon? What's the right word? Shop? Well, y'all call it the shop. Hair salon, all right. You know, but I remember that feeling, her not being able to go to the hair salon or to the nail salon, you know, to, you know, pay that extra money to do those things because we really needed the money just to pay our bills. So it wasn't a very good feeling. I remembered all those times. And so you know what I did? I made it up in my mind, man, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be as faithful as I can with the $6.25 an hour. I'm going to give God the first what belongs to him. I'm going to work everything out, you know, and pay every bill I can. If there's a bill I can't pay this week, I'm calling them. I'm calling the 1-800 number. I don't care if they fuss at me. They told me they were going to send me to jail. You understand what I mean? I almost believed it. For $63, they're going to send me to jail. And people always wonder why I did stuff like that. And I was talking to a lady the other day, and I said, I finally come to a point in life where I realize the word integrity to me is so different than the word integrity to so many other people. Like when I say integrity, I mean integrity. Does that make sense? And so it's easy to hear me say, we've given cars away, we've helped pay for college, we do all this, and people wonder why. Because we never forgot where we came from. And we've never forgotten how good God has been to us. We understand that everything we have right now belongs to God. So if God was to tell me to wipe out my bank account, I really don't believe he would. But if he was to tell me to wipe out my bank account, I would wipe out my bank account for him. You got it? So we understand the power of an affectionate giver. Can I give you one more scripture, then we'll go home? All right, 1 Chronicles 29 and 3. David, he can't build the temple because there's blood on his hands. So he's getting things ready for his son. And so he begins to talk to them saying, hey, I've set aside this and I've done this. And, you know, I've got all the silver for things that need to be silver and all the gold for things that need to be gold and all these. And then he gets to verse 3. And he's like, I've done all that. But he said, moreover, watch this. I need you to follow me with this because I want you to say this word in a minute. He says, moreover, because I have set my, one more time, because I have set my, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God, watch this, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, he says, my own special treasure of gold and silver. So he says, listen, I've made sure that there's silver for things to be silver and gold for things to be gold. But David said, he said, but listen, I got a whole lot too. And because my affection is toward the house of God, I went into some of those areas that nobody knows about. And I pulled some things out and presented it as an offering or a sacrifice to God. There's one time David makes a comment. He says, I will never, watch this, offer something to God that costs me nothing. I won't offer something to God that calls me with nothing. One time somebody gave me something that somebody gave them. And I'm not knocking that because there's nothing wrong with doing that. You got it. But they act like I owe them the world because they gave me something. Well, first of all, if you give to somebody, no, they don't owe you anything. Because when you give, you release and that's it. Isn't that right? And then my whole thing was, it didn't cost you anything. I'm just saying. You got it. So if I give, you know, if I give Shelton $20, you know, which I don't have because I gave him all away. But if I give Shelton $20, right, and then Shelton goes over and gives Joe $20. It's Joe's anniversary, Joe and Jaden's anniversary. It'd be a good day to give him $20, you know. So if he was to go, and you don't have to give him $20, Shelton. But if he was to go give Joe $20, he can't be, you know, and then Joe, you know, puts on Facebook that he's at Panera, you know, for lunch with Janie celebrating her anniversary. You understand what I'm saying? Then, you know, he can't text him, I hope you're enjoying lunch on me. Now, it's good that he gave to him, and God will bless him for giving to him as long as his heart is right. Does that make sense? But when we act like somebody owes us, when we do something for them, we have totally missed, watch this, having a generous heart and developing this attitude of gratitude. So this is what I want you to make up in your mind, that from this day forward, you're going to be an affectionate, generous giver, and it should start with giving God the first. That's what I want you to make up in your mind. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I know there's a few people that have to move, but if